Thanks for spending time with Fusion Community Church through our podcast. These can be accessed anytime through iTunes or on our website, fusioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you enjoy today's message from Pastor Andrew Fetter.
Isn't it refreshing to know that we serve a God that cannot be held hostage by anything, not even our physical ailments? Well, this summer, as we're kind of held hostage to the summer heat, which to me is a beautiful thing. I will not complain about the heat, because in the back of my mind, I'm always thinking about those 7-degree days in January and February. So, you know, for me, it's kind of considering what it could be. But we're talking about things in our lives that so often we're held hostage to that aren't nearly as enjoyable as sitting by the pool in the heat or going on a hike or a bike ride. So we're going to get very close to issues and struggles that hold us hostage. Things that maybe you've been dealing with for a while. Things that maybe you've been addicted to. Maybe you're still addicted to. Maybe things that have ruined relationships in the past and you continue to carry them with you. Or things of the past, failures in your life that you haven't yet forgiven yourself for. And as we talk about these hostage situations, I want to continue to challenge you to move towards them. To not retreat in fear, but to stand rather than shy away from them. See, often in life we find it hard to face the things that we're sometimes enslaved to. But we have to recognize the truth that in order to find victory, we have to move towards it. Now, God's enemy, the devil, is passionately trying to hold you hostage every single day you're alive on this planet. Hostage to your flesh. Hostage to the desires of your flesh. He wants to keep us imprisoned. And he's angry that we're even talking about this topic and these concepts during this series. Because the devil knows that what Jesus has to say is true. He knows the truth and he tries to manipulate it. But the devil knows what Jesus shows us, the truth about situations. And that when Jesus and the Holy Spirit reveal to us the truth, it has the power to break us free from bondage. This is our theme verse for this series in John 8, what Jesus said. He tells the disciples, those who were following him, and most of them at this time were Jews. He says, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will, say this with me, set you free. Very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family. But a son belongs to the family forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. You know, one area that I believe thousands of Americans are held hostage to every single day is bitterness. In fact, in our culture, if someone hurts you emotionally or relationally, you might even have friends that surround you that actually encourage you to be bitter because you deserve to be bitter. You deserve to be upset and to carry that upset feeling around with you. Now, here's the truth about becoming bitter and staying bitter in any situation that you've went through in life. It will poison you. It will poison your relationships and it will poison your relationship with God. So sadly, many people are held hostage to bitterness. I want to invite you this morning, whether you have your Bibles with you or you're using your phone or your tablet or whatever, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to start there this morning and look at the sin of bitterness. Now, sometimes we want to justify it and say, well, it's a bad habit. Is it a sin? No, it's a sin. That bitter malice, anger, resentment we have towards people and events of the past is bitterness and it's sin. And God hates sin. And in Hebrews 12:14, this is where we'll start. Here's what the Bible says. Work at living in peace with everyone. And work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. And then listen to what it says here. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. See to it that no bitter root grows up, consumes your heart, takes over your emotions, and produces a poisonous fruit that will corrupt many people. Because that's what bitterness does. See to it that no bitter root grows up within you, that you just become okay with this bitterness inside in the foundational soil of your heart. Now, this scripture really shows us two things about bitterness that are always true as it relates to bitterness. If you're taking notes, the first one's this. Bitterness has a dangerous root. Bitterness has a dangerous root. Scripture's very clear. Verse 15 says, see to it no root of bitterness grows up. No bitter root grows up. Now, how does any root start? Well, in order for a root to start, there has to be a seed planted in soil. One small seed of a past hurt, a past offense, a past struggle, a past relational conflict. One moment in life where something hurts you and scars you in the soil of your wounded heart, and you allow that seed to exist. And it begins to plant roots that begin to go deep. Some hurt that hasn't been dealt with properly. A moment in life where somebody or something scarred you. Maybe someone did something to you over and over and over again. Maybe that seed exists because of something someone didn't do that you felt they should have done. But a bitter root grows fast and deep within the soil of a wounded heart. And what is so often the case with bitterness is after we give permission for one root to grow, something else happens and we give permission for a second root. And then something else happens and now it's a third root. And now the roots are intertwined and the relationships are tense and they're a struggle to even be around that person. You ever been betrayed by somebody? You ever been wounded by someone you thought loved you or cared for you? You ever been in a battle with somebody maybe you don't even really get along with, but you're in a battle because there's something at stake that you deeply care for? You ever been emotionally scarred by a parent or a child? And maybe even still today when you're around them, you have this awkward feeling, you sense this distance from them. And if you're being honest, you're still holding that hurt against them. That's bitterness, and it has a dangerous root. Now, I'm not justifying behavior or sins against one another. Someone betrays you, that's wrong. But instead of handling it scripturally, in our flesh, in our emotional state, we just absorb the hurt. And then we try to bury it. We try to get past it on our own. And a root develops. Because roots absorb. Roots store. Roots grow. That's what they do. And with bitterness, that bitter root just stores up poison and then begins to distribute it. You store them up in the roots of your heart. And that poison then begins to touch everything else that you're connected to. The roots of a plant store up water to feed the plant later, to distribute water to feed it. A root of bitterness at the base of a wounded heart stores up things like resentment, things like anger, frustration, jealousy, unforgiveness, malice, stuff that we would all identify as poison. And then we'll allow that root, because it's at the core of who we are, to poison everything else it's connected to. So the first thing is bitterness. It has a dangerous root. Number two, bitterness produces a deadly fruit. See, out of this dangerous root of bitterness, our lives start to exude hatred or anger or rage or vengeance. And something just totally poisons everything we touch. Some of you here today, seems like everything maybe that you touch dies. Or every person you're around pulls away. Or every relationship you have is unhealthy. I challenge you today to ask God, not for someone else, but for you. God, is there something in my life that I'm bitter about? Allowing this root of bitterness to exist in your life and hold you hostage to experience the deadly fruits of bitterness every single day. You'll be held hostage to it. And this is what you hold, this list in your mind. You hold this list of everything the other person has done wrong to you. You hold this list the times your spouse hasn't been honest with you, haven't met your expectations. The times your kids have not held up their end of the relationship. The times at work where the boss blamed you for the failure rather than taking responsibility as the leader. See, now a distracted Christ follower has all these roots growing in our lives over past hurts, past experiences, and it holds us anchored to what happened yesterday, unable to truly move forward and embrace the future God has for us. But a focused Christ follower doesn't cling to the roots of bitterness, they cling to the roots of Christ, the roots of grace, that God has forgiven us and we're called to forgive others. A focused Christ follower is unwilling to keep a list of wrongs committed against him by other people. In fact, listen to what the Apostle Paul says about bitterness. I love the way he says this. I love this translation, the New Life Version in 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. It says this, love, if we want to be people of love, love does not do the wrong thing. Love never thinks of itself. Love does not get angry. Love does not remember the suffering that comes from being hurt by someone. I read that in this translation. I was just like, ouch. Let's all be honest. There's two camps we can be in. The first one is right here. First Corinthians 13. That's a typo with the reference. 1 Corinthians 13, 5. The first one, camp number one, is exactly what this says. We do not remember the suffering that comes from being hurt by someone. We could be in that camp. We could be in that tent. Or number two, we remember all too well the suffering that comes from being hurt by someone. Now, I think it's time to just kind of take a poll. If we were all being honest, in most days, do you normally find yourself in camp one or camp two? Where camp two is where you just rehash the hurt over and over again, the event over and over again, and it just fuels more and more emotional tirades within you, and you just can't seem to forget it, and you can't seem to let it go, and it just plagues you, and the thought of that person drives you crazy. If you're most often in camp number two, when someone hurts you or offends you, would you just grunt with me real quick in pain? I mean, just, ugh. I mean, you know what that's like. And if we're honest in our flesh, most of the time, that's where we hang out. Where we keep a list of the wrongs people have done against us. Where we remember the suffering that comes from being hurt by others. The Bible says that you're locked in a prison, a pit of bitterness. And you continue to operate relationally based on your hurt, rather than operating as a Christ follower should on the basis of God's grace. In essence, what you're doing is you're drinking poison, expecting the other person to hurt and to die. And they don't even have a clue how miserable you are internally. You ever notice you can be at work and there can be a bitter person, and that one person can totally change the climate of a workplace? Their negativity, their bitterness can be a poison that just invades a very positive, enjoyable working atmosphere. The same's true with family life. You can take one bitter family member over something that maybe happened decades ago, and that one bitter family member can completely destroy a holiday, can disrupt the unity, love, and harmony of a family. You see it with teenagers. You can take a group of great kids and you plant one kid in there that's just negative or bitter or angry or rebellious. All of a sudden, the whole group can begin to turn down that path. Bitterness produces a very, very deadly fruit. Here's five fruits that bitterness produces in us when we don't deal with things properly, biblically, the way God intends for us to deal with them, to be free from them. The first thing is we justify our bitterness, right? You say to yourself, okay, now after what this person did to me, the fact that I'm angry, well, I deserve to be angry. I have the right to be angry. I have the right to get back at them, to get what I deserve. Because after what they did, I mean, anybody would want revenge. Anybody would want to attack. And so we justify it. And sometimes we'll surround ourselves with people that even foster that and encourage us to continue justifying it. And all we're doing is just digging the pit deeper and deeper. We're just wrapping ourselves in more and more roots of bitterness. And many of us were extremely bitter and we just justify that's okay. Because we think we're a victim and they're the perpetrator. And so we have the right to be ticked off and to get back. Well, God says, no, it's not okay to be bitter. I mean, if anybody had a right to be bitter with people that offended them and hurt them intentionally and chose themselves over others, it would be God with us that has a right to be bitter. But he says, no, I'm not going to be bitter. I'm going to come down in my life. I'm going to give it up and I'm going to extend grace to you, even though you don't deserve it. The first fruit of bitterness is we justify it. Second fruit is when we're bitter, we become overly critical. If you're bitter against someone, you'll probably never look at that person objectively again until you begin the healing process. You'll pick them apart, everything they do, everything they don't do, the car they drive, the way they comb their hair, the clothes they wear, what comes out of their mouth. Now, I'm sure this hasn't happened in your marriage if you're married, but we'll often see the fruit of bitterness come out this way. Your spouse let you down once, or they said something to you once, or they didn't meet your expectations once, and these hurts just kind of build on top of each other, and you don't handle it biblically. So now the hurt is deep, and every time, ladies, you're with the girls, or guys, men, you're with the guys, all you do is you just pick apart all his flaws. And all you do is beat her up on all of her weaknesses and how she doesn't satisfy you. And you're just doing it because you're bitter. And you're just picking them apart and you're overly critical. And God says, this is wrong. God says his way is better if we choose to function that way. The third fruit of bitterness is we celebrate the struggles other people go through that have hurt us. If you're bitter towards me and then something bad happened in my life or my family, that bitterness root, it's down there. It'll cause a fruit to grow where you think to yourself, ha, 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 God's getting back at them. He's evening the score, making things right. And you might even celebrate the misfortune that I'm going through. I mean, this is what it looks like, to give you a practical example, and I'm sure this has never happened to anybody, but you're driving on the thruway, and the guy in the convertible flies by at 80 miles an hour, and you're like, oh, what a crazy jerk. Who drives like that? My goodness, slow down, you're going to kill somebody. And then 10 miles up the road, he's off on the shoulder with a state trooper spinning the lights behind, right? And what's in that heart? You know, what are you saying? Yeah, baby, he got his, right? Yeah, take that, driving by in my minivan past his convertible, celebrating his misfortune. See, when we're bitter, we celebrate the struggles others are going through. We become overly critical of every little thing. We justify that our bitterness should remain. We get excited when they receive their just desserts. Number four, when we're bitter, we tend to write off entire groups of people. You might be hurt by one or two people of a similar group or gender, and so you'll write off that whole group. Some of you ladies, you've been hurt by a guy or a couple of guys, and now you just think all men are that way. Some guys, you've never felt good enough or wanted or loved by a woman, and so your bitterness extends to all women, and you expect them all to reject you. No one's going to love you, and that's just the way that they are. I'll have conversations with people on a regular basis that do that with me or do that with a church. They've had past experiences with a pastor or with another church, and so their expectations or hesitations about connecting and building relationships. I'll even meet people on an airplane that I know will never, ever, ever come to a Sunday morning worship service here at Fusion. And they'll ask, you know, as you're sitting there on the plane on a flight together, so what do you do for a living? And I always kind of reluctantly, I'm a pastor. And they're like, okay. I actually had one time where all of a sudden this lady's paying for an upgrade to go to first class. Talk about hurt. Talk about hurt. Not me, her. She had a lot of hurt going on. I wasn't hurt. I had more leg room. It was great. And the reality, if we were honest, some here have been hurt by pastors. Maybe you've been hurt by me. Some here have been hurt by pastors. You've been hurt by former churches or who you thought were brothers and sisters in Christ, and you continue to carry that hurt forward. And you're lumping all churches together, and that's now your expectation to get hurt. That's bitterness. God says it's not healthy. It's not His way. It's sinful, and God hates our sin. One of the most common ways we see bitterness come through today is that political lines are drawn so strictly. People will write off a person, a candidate, not even examine their character, but just because of the party they're affiliated with. We carry our bias into that arena in a huge way because we live in such a divided nation. And we'll say things like, oh, all those Democrats, they're just, or all those Republicans, well, they're all, I mean, how could they call themselves a Christian? And this bitter root brings forth this deadly fruit of writing off entire groups of people. And we don't approach people one-on-one in relationship or to examine who they really are. But we write them off based on past experience and bias. And then the fifth fruit of bitterness, when we're bitter, if we're honest, we struggle to see our own bitterness in the mirror. We do. I mean, some of you right now, you're thinking, oh man, I wish my daughter was here to hear this message. Oh man, I wish my ex was here. If only my boss was here. I mean, they really need to hear this message. I should have invited them to church this Sunday. Meanwhile, the person that you rode with to church is sitting right beside you praying to God that you're listening. See, the truth of bitterness is that everyone around you can see it, but so often it's elusive to us until we stop and listen to the Holy Spirit and take an honest look in the mirror. Now, bitterness can start small. It can be little stuff, as small as someone who at work got a promotion and you thought you deserved it and they got bumped ahead of you. Or it could be more serious where, you know, someone's been telling lies about you, spreading rumors about you, and you're just sick of it. And it's just continual. You're just bitter. It could be something even more personal. Maybe you're bitter at one or both of your parents. You know, your dad wasn't there or wasn't there for you like you knew he thought he should have been. Or maybe he was abusive, or maybe he wasn't good to your mom, or he left. Maybe your mom was violent at times, or she drank too much, or she was distant, or she played favorites in the family. Maybe you're bitter at someone who took advantage of you. You went to help somebody, and they just completely abused your generosity. Perhaps you let somebody have some money, and they never cared to pay you back. Or maybe it was a long and trusted friend, and they just turned on you for no reason, and you still don't know what happened, and you're bitter about it. I see in marriages a lot of times that something happened years ago, and sure, it was a terrible, horrible thing, but the person that was wounded just won't let it go. They won't get past it. They won't forgive, and that offense just keeps popping up, and they keep bringing it up in very cynical, sarcastic, violent, deadly ways. And this bitterness just consumes the relationship. It poisons the home. Or maybe you're like me, and maybe as people offend you, it's kind of easy to forgive when they offend you personally. But man, when somebody offends someone you care about, then you latch onto it, and it's hard to forgive that offense. Maybe it's when somebody that hurt your mom or hurt your dad, you can forgive what happened to you, but you just can't forgive what happened to your spouse. You're just struggling to let that go because you want to get even because they hurt someone you cared about. I want you to ask that difficult question this morning, and I want you to just kind of sit on it. With whom or what are you bitter about? Is there a person that when we mention anger or bitterness in our heart, that root of poison, who's the person that pops into your head? What event are you carrying around and giving permission to continue to breed poison in your life? Acknowledge it, because the longer you let the root grow, the more dangerous it becomes and more difficult it is to kill it. So how do we kill a root? How do we kill a plant? How do we give God permission to stick his eternal hands deep in the soil of our souls and jerk that thing out? How do we do it? Because we see it as poisonous. When we really step back and look, we see that it's poisonous. We see that everything it brings to the surface is stuff we don't want in our lives. Well, the Bible says a lot, and it sounds like a simple anecdote. You're like, no, it can't be that easy. There's got to be more to it than that. There's got to be more that I got to do. But until we really start doing it and developing a new discipline that we might find out is one of the hardest disciplines in life to practice consistently for a lifetime. Listen to these verses. Write them down. Memorize them. Ephesians 4. The Apostle Paul says, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. You look at that list, bitterness breeds all of them. Get rid of all bitterness. That's the root that brings forth fruits like rage and anger and brawling and slander, along with every form of malice towards another person. He says, instead, be kind and compassionate to one another. Here's the key, forgiving each other. Here's the context, just as in Christ, God forgave you. See, the essence of forgiveness isn't really about the other person at all, it's about you. The essence of forgiveness is about stopping someone from continuing to hurt you today, even though maybe it happened years ago. Maybe that person hurt you decades ago and they're dead now, but if you're bitter about it, you're allowing that person who's dead to continue to negatively impact your life and poison you. You're continuing to let them hurt you. I understand that in bringing this up, it brings up very sensitive situations and experiences that many have gone through. I shared that at the beginning of the message. We're going to kind of get close to some things that aren't real comfortable to get close to. I know in this room, the statistics are even saying 1 in 4 now, maybe even closer to 1 in 3 in the next generation of women have been abused in some disgusting and personal way. And I'm not trying to make light of that offense. I'm not trying to make light of the fact you were abused or deeply wounded. In fact, for many of those instances, you'll need a gift given only by God, a miraculous ability to forgive for that offense that I almost look and I say it might almost be impossible by human means alone. That we need a special provision of grace in our lives to forgive those kinds of deep wounds, personal wounds that have happened. And you might have to practice the disciplines of forgiveness for months, for years, before you really begin to experience the miraculous act of letting it go. What I do know is that if you don't forgive even the deepest offenses in your life, then you'll continue to allow that man or that woman that hurt you or that group of people or that pastor or that individual to continue to wound you today and tomorrow and the next day and the day after that. And it will poison you and it'll poison your other relationships. It'll poison your walk with God. And it is not God's desire for you to continue to carry around that kind of hurt, that level of grief, and revisit it day after day and allow the fruit of that bitter root to just take hold and hold you hostage. Now, even in presenting a message like this, I know, sadly, there's many here that are clinging to some areas of bitterness in their life, and you won't take this seriously. You'll think that you're excused from this challenge of God. Well, if you only knew. And I'm saying to you, if you only knew the poison you continue to drink and settle for, when God has so much more for you, so much more beautiful things in your life, a much better future than the past you've experienced. Because if you continue to allow yourself to be held hostage to these roots of bitterness, it's going to hurt the people around you and it'll eventually destroy your relationships. What you need is deep spiritual cleansing. In fact, I invite you to invite God this morning to go deep. At the end of our message, we're going to have some time of worship to just kind of reflect and allow the Holy Spirit to stretch us and speak to us. And I want to invite you to allow God to go deep. Invite God to go deep into the fabric of your heart. And if you feel like, you know what, God, I can't forgive this person, I invite you, tell God that. Say, God, I can't forgive this person. What they did to me is unspeakable. I can't escape it. I can't get out from under it. And it infuriates me. And I just don't see how you could forgive them. And I don't see how you could forgive me. God, I can't forgive this person. I just can't. And then say, God, I need your help with it. And you might have to pray that way for months. before you begin to sense a little bit of breaking free. You might have to pray that way for the next 2 weeks until you begin to sense a little bit of a break, a little bit of a breakthrough. Then a month from now, a little more freedom. And 2 months from now, maybe your emotions and your disposition are changing slightly. And someday soon, you might begin to separate yourself 3 months, 6 months, where you'll be able to set yourself aside from that hurt and not allow that root to drive everything you do and everything that comes out of your mouth. Jesus says, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And by beginning to practice the discipline of forgiveness on a regular basis consistently, you can begin to discover the fruit of forgiveness, which is the opposite of the fruits of bitterness. And you can not only know the truth, but you can experience that truth. That by forgiving, you actually stop that person from ever being able to hurt you again. See, we'll never escape in this life the need to forgive other people. We won't. Because in this life, sin is going to be present because we're human. Because none of us are perfect. Because I'll almost often think of myself and you'll most often think of yourself, and we will have to have times where we forgive each other. But see, forgiveness is not dependent on the apologetic heart of the person that hurt us. Let me say it again. Forgiveness is not dependent on the apologetic heart of the person that hurt us. Often we think, well, as soon as they apologize, then I'll forgive them. Then I'll let them go. But until then, not a chance. All they have to do is stand before me and say, I was wrong, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? And absolutely, I'll forgive them. Which is basically what you're saying is, I'm going to choose to carry around this poison and this toxic attitude and this negativity and this malice and this hatred in my heart until they realize that I'm miserable, and then they apologize. And that's never going to happen. Why would you continue to carry that kind of baggage in your heart, into your relationships, into your walk with Christ? Forgiveness sets us free from that bondage. It's not dependent on the apologetic heart of another person. And your forgiving them does not set them free from punishment or from giving an account to God. They still have to deal with God on that issue. But what you're saying is, I'm not going to allow it to plague me anymore. I'm not going to allow it to dictate my emotions. I'm not going to allow it to dictate my future. I want God to dictate my future. I want the Holy Spirit to guide my future. See, forgiveness is a big deal. In fact, when we really study Scripture, I think biblically, forgiveness is about the biggest deal to God. So big that God actually said, you know what, I'm going to come in flesh. I'm going to put on flesh. I'm going to send my Son to pay the penalty that you deserve so you can be forgiven. And listen to what Jesus, who came to sign His name to the check and pay for God's forgiveness, has to say about this big deal. In Matthew 6, Jesus says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Catch what He says here. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. See, that the discipline of forgiving one another is a pretty serious, pretty big deal to God. And I think that since God paid the ultimate price for your soul and for mine, that He expects us as followers of His way, as Christ followers, to step out and be conduits of His forgiveness as well to any and all. So here we face a choice. To keep on drinking the poison, hurting yourself, the people around you, and being a terrible witness of Christ, by the way. Or you can put the poison away. Go before God. Be mature in your walk. Say, God, would you bring healing? To be clear with God, they don't deserve forgiveness. But Lord, neither did I when you forgave me. God, I'm going to put it away. I'm going to trust you with the outcome. I'm going to focus on what only I can do and what I can control, and I'm going to let them give an account before you for their actions. God, would you deal with this at the root level of my heart? Would you just reach your hand into the soil of my heart, God, and begin to kill this root? Because God, I don't want to let this person continue to hurt me. I'm not going to continue to let this root store up all this junk and then spread it all over my life like a cancer. Say, God, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who He gave His life so we could receive forgiveness, would you so empower me today, God, to begin to have the courage to face down and kill this root of bitterness within me? That's the decision, to choose to follow Jesus or to choose to turn your back on Him. It's really that simple. I want to invite you just to bow your head and close your eyes, and the band's going to come back up. The lights are going to come down, and we're just going to have a few moments. And I just kind of want to pick apart as we enter into more of a spirit of prayer at the end of this message. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt There's people in this room where you're still holding bitterness towards someone that one time was your friend. Someone that you thought cared for you, someone you thought you could trust, and they let you down in an incredible way. They hurt you, they wounded you deeply. And you're still carrying it around. And maybe that person doesn't even live within driving distance of you anymore, but you're allowing them to continue to hurt you. Why would you choose to do that? I know there's definitely people here where maybe it's the last place you worked. Maybe the place you still work at, I don't know. And you're just bitter at someone there. Maybe it was a coworker. Maybe it was a boss. Maybe it was a group of people. Maybe you felt completely abandoned and isolated, and everybody was there to beat you up, and you're just carrying that around, and you're carrying it into work every day, and you just hate working there. You hate thinking about that old place or driving by it that you used to work. You hate bumping into old coworkers at the grocery, and it just consumes you. Why would you continue to drink that poison? Allow your life to be dictated by past experiences when God has a better future. God's saying, trust me with it. Some in here, you're bitter at your spouse. They're sitting right next to you, and you're carrying a list of wrongdoings. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love does not carry a list of wrongs. Love does not remember the suffering that came at the hurt caused by other people. And you're just continuing to carry this bitterness at your spouse because they did something, or they didn't do something, or they were there, or they weren't there. They said something, or they didn't say something. And there's this long list in your mind, and maybe you even continue to bring it up cynically and sarcastically, and it just pierces their heart, and they just feel like they can't get past it. And maybe it's at the point where you don't even like being around each other because this bitterness is just poisoning everything. And every time you're with your girlfriends, or every time you're hanging out with the guys, it comes up, and you're just tearing them down and tearing them down. And then that leads to other people tearing down their spouses or boyfriends or girlfriends. And it's just sickness. It's disease. And you can't escape it. Stand and look in the mirror and call it what it is. It's sin. And God doesn't want it in your life. He knows there's a better way. Many of you here, divorced, you're still bitter at your ex-spouse. And you just carry that around. And it comes out in the slightest little things that you say and your perception, maybe even on marriage and family. And you just can't escape it. It just plagues you. It's like a dark pit that you're in. And you feel justified in doing it because the hurt is deep. But God is here today to say to you, it's not okay. It's time to begin letting go. It doesn't mean you're letting them off the hook and saying nothing hurt. But what you're doing is you're saying to God, God, if you give me grace, I've got to extend it as well. And so God, I am. And I don't want that hurt to continue to exist. I don't want to give the power of my emotions and my psychological state, my mind and my heart and my relationships. I don't want to give into that. I don't want to let that hurt rule all those areas of my life. And then I know there's many here that maybe one time, years ago, you attended another church. Maybe years ago, maybe decades ago, you had a different pastor or priest or whatever. Maybe it was a completely different perspective on God and on creation and the world, a completely different religious mindset. And there were deep wounds, deep hurts attributed by the people there, by the pastor there, by the leader of that organization or group. And you just continue to carry that hostility towards them. And you haven't dealt with it properly. And if you don't deal with past hurts in the church properly, you can't move forward building relationships with this church properly. God's saying that poison will carry into your relationships in Fusion. That you've got to begin to let go and let God deal with those things. You've got to begin to move away from the sins of the past committed by others against you. Begin to forgive. And that doesn't mean that today it's all done and taken care of and easy. It means that probably around 3 o'clock this afternoon, that negative spirit's going to rise back up because that root's been there a long time. And you just got to continue to pray, God, I can't do this. I got to let it go. I need your help. I need your help. See, forgiveness is not an event. It's a discipline. It's not something we ever perfect. It's something we'll always, till our last breath, be working through. Father God, I just pray, as we have this morning briefly approached a subject that we could spend 10 weeks on, considering all the ways that we are hurt and wounded in life that lead to this root of bitterness just in the core of our soul. God, we pray against it and we call it what it is. It's sin. We know it's not your desire. It's not what you want for us. So God, we ask you to give us the wisdom to deal with this root. And God, give us the courage to face it, to call it what it is. To no longer justify it, to no longer be overly critical of others. To no longer just wipe out an entire section of society because we were hurt by people in that group. To no longer let our bias drift towards a certain group of people. To no longer be held hostage to anger, resentment, rage, and malice. God, we know those things lead nowhere. So would you awaken our spirits? Would you help us to see with your eyes? Not the sins of our husband or wife, not the sins of our boyfriend or girlfriend, not the sins of our kids or our parents. God, would you awaken us this morning to see our own sin? To deal with it here in this place and to resolve it in our mind, we're not going to continue to carry it forward. That we're going to make it right. Not as we determine what's right or what other people determine is what's right, but what your word determines is right, God. To be honest and truthful. To do what's right, not what's easy. So that we can experience breaking free from bitterness. It's in your holy and precious name that we press into you today, Lord, knowing we need your divine hand at work in us to tackle this issue, because it's a big one. Forgiveness sounds easy in process, but in practice, it is incredibly difficult to wake up every day and continue to forgive from the hurts we've experienced. God, allow your son to be our model. Although he had done nothing wrong, he was falsely accused and gave his life so that we might experience your grace. What a profound illustration that is to us, God, of love beyond condition. May you cause us to live it out with such bold steps as your son Jesus did. And we're careful to give you all the glory and praise as we continue to worship, that your Holy Spirit would be free in this room, Lord, to pierce our hearts, to begin the process helping us forgive. As we worship, you're invited to stand or to sit. There are kneelers up front if you'd just like to spend some time kneeling before God.